Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode 3, Brandy. Everyday Drinkers is sponsored by The Stomach. Didn't I do this already? The Stomach Bomb?
The Stomach.
Yeah.
Damn it, I forgot to go back and... Oh, well, whatever.
You did that last week.
Yeah, fuck it. Never mind.
Hey, we can have the same sponsor twice.
Yeah, but that's lame. We'll just worry about it. Nobody will notice. We also ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, and please, please, don't do something stupid. Whoa, that was stupid.
No, go ahead and do something stupid.
I'm your host, Derek Schomer. Our panel of drinkers today
include
you bastard, Dave, Kate, and of course, Doug from North Carolina.
Yo.
Hi, Doug.
Beautiful.
And I'm sitting here
Raleigh, North Kakalaki.
And I'm in New Hampshire where we have nothing to do but drink and brandy. Lots of brandy here, only in my house. So what do we have today for drinks, guys? I haven't actually gone through and reviewed what you guys got, so I'm kind of winging it. I could tell you right now, I've got Christian Brothers Brandy, very special. That's a VS. What do you got, Doug?
I have the Saint-Remy Napoleon.
Aged, what, 6 years? Ooh, very special OP. I'll figure out what that is after. Old Pale.
It doesn't say how many years.
I'm telling you how much, because it's okay. A Napoleon. Don't ask. I don't know why I know that. Too much research.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
No, that's
good. Yeah.
What do you got there?
I put some Kool-Aid under a radiator for a few months.
Nice!
An old jailhouse this week.
Nice.
No, I'm doing a Spanish brandy called Torres 10 Imperial Brandy. I don't know what makes an Imperial like it makes you want to just get drunk and go out and kick ass for it. But...
Or wear a crown. And pretend you're a king. Anyway. Hey, Kate.
If she's idle for 1 second, she'll be back. She's making eggnog.
All right, let me...
Well. Like an eggnog drink. She's not making it from scratch.
Oh,
you can.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Involved.
All the recipes I found were always making it from scratch.
It's like making custard, but not quite.
Yeah, I got... what type of cookie dough did I say I got? I got, like, some sweet cookie, cinnamon cookie something. What is this?
Smells like a Christmas cookie flavored eggnog.
I get like a Christmas cookie flavored eggnog, which, by the way, I think it's better with regular.
That sounds like it'd be fantastic coming back up.
Well, I don't plan to drink that much eggnog.
That's the problem with eggnog. I mean, you just never want to do that,
right? Because that would be dumb. It's like
and you'd weigh 400 pounds, but
you know. Right. It's like a White Russian. You just there's one of those drinks you just don't want coming back. But you get your calcium.
You sound better.
Oh, well, thanks. I got rid of my head cold.
You sound sexy.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay, so.
I would.
So, to go.
Yeah.
Why don't we start again?
Oh, well, I'm really, I think all I have to do is, I was trying to ask Kate what she was having.
Oh,
I know exactly where I left off. It was awesome.
Okay.
Hey, Kate.
Yeah.
What do you got for brandy?
I have E&J Limited XO Release Brandy.
XO, like Knockout or Hugs and Kisses?
Hugs and Kisses.
Awesome.
It actually stands for extra old, so it was aged at least 6 years.
So I'm dragging at the bottom of the heap this time with my VS. I feel so bad. I'm normally the top shelf guy.
Oh, mine's Spanish, so I'm not sure where that fits in.
You know you picked that just so you could use your Spanish announcer voice.
Spanish announcer voice.
Sí, por supuesto.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, ¿dónde está el baño? El queso.
Para español, número dos. That's all I know. I'm sorry. That's it.
Hey. I knew how to say the cheese is old and moldy.
I don't know how to say that. You just did, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway. So the show rundown today is going to be brandy, and I did some research. I don't know, does anybody here actually specialize in brandy or have ever had it before?
No.
Yes.
Never.
Well, Doug, you've had everything before.
Well,
including cirrhosis. Not bad.
Only once.
I'm working my way up. I haven't had it yet. I'm going to get
what up in the donor list? Or
No. Working my way into the having it.
Oh, that's good.
This is actually the first time I've spent any quality time with one, so
with it's pretty with new brandy?
For me. A cirrhosis?
I'm thinking he's thinking brandy.
Yeah,
that's weird.
So then nobody knows anything about brandy. we're all going to be complete dumbasses if I didn't do my research. Because I know a little about brandy.
I saw a show on the distillation process not too long ago.
Really? Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah. No, that would be moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
Moonshine comes up a lot.
Yeah. We can't cross the board with that. When did you see the show, Discovery Channel?
Yeah, actually, I think it might have been Discovery Channel.
Figures. Everything's on Discovery Channel. It's like that's where you go to discover stuff. It's awesome.
It's ironic.
Right.
So based on what I know, it seems like brandy is just, you know, a fruit juice of some kind that gets fermented and distilled, right? So right. It's basically wine in the standard case.
It's basically wine. Unless, yep. but actually the real name is Brandywine, which every time I hear it, I think of The Hobbit. Anybody else have that problem?
Brandywine, I was like, oh, Jesus. Going to the Shire.
Yes, exactly. That's the only Shire joke I can possibly come up with because I didn't even know there was a category of jokes for the Shire. But that's, for some reason, when I heard, oh, Brandy, short for Brandywine, I'm like, whoa. That's from The Hobbit. I wonder if they took it from The Hobbit. And then I realized that Brandy's older than The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Tolkien actually got it from France.
I think that's called geek relativity.
No, France, he would have called it cognac wine or something.
No, if it came from that region.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right.
And there's nothing worse than mixing the French in with The Hobbit, so let's just leave that alone.
Right.
Yeah.
So that
if it's... Sorry, so what's the different? What makes it become brandy rather than wine?
Here's the trick. I've had a couple of these things that when I did this research, I found most brandy is going to be made out of grapes, which is why you have, as Dave said, I think it was Dave, right, who said that they're from wine, grapes?
Yeah. There's a lot of us here. It's hard to keep track, right?
Right, exactly. So the trick is this. Let's say that you had some grapes and you mashed them up and you distilled them and you could have had wine. But you're really not good at wine, so you just keep going, and you just let it ferment, right? Eventually, you're going to get a higher alcohol. You're going to get a higher alcohol content. So
that might have been the greatest noise ever, by the way. I don't know what it was, but it just sounded fantastic.
That was me tripping up over my words and then just giving up. You can all... And to try not to sound like a fool, if... like you said, you could do fruits. You can also do pulps, seeds, peels, stalks, and all the other leftovers from grapes. And let me tell you, it tastes disgusting. But I divert. I'll talk about that later.
But I think that the main thing is that you can only go so far if you ferment something. I mean, it'll stop fermenting at some point. That's where you have to get into the distillation process in order to amp it up.
Right. And this is distilled. I guess in short, it would be distilled wine, right? I mean, you've got the grapes. You're already in that whole mode of, you know, you're trying to make grapes into something that's alcoholic. Boom. You can either do wine or you could do brandy. And we're choosing this week to do brandy because we know Dave hates wine. So we didn't want to go there.
Yeah, but that might be a fun week anyways.
That's true.
And just hear me bitch and moan the whole time.
But
kind of like normal.
Right. Pretty much. Brandy is made... from the same things as wine, but it's generally colored kind of a caramel color. You probably noticed that if you actually poured any into a shot glass and put down a few.
Now, I put it down my throat.
Right, see? That's the effect.
I missed the color.
Well,
it tasted brownish.
True.
There's so many ways I could go with that. I'll just leave it alone.
Now, if you had, let's say you decided you wanted, they have this thing called a pumice. It's pulp, seeds, all the leftovers, the stuff everybody wastes, right? Well, some green person was like, hey, we can't let things go to waste, so we'll figure out how to make this into some sort of brandy. Sounds like a great idea. So if you use this type of distilling process, you're going to end up with something that's more clear. Or if you do fruit brandies, which I've never had, but I guess you could take fruit and you can make a brandy out of it. Not usually, they're not going to be aged, so they're usually clear in color or closer to clear. Probably more like vodka. Because I had
really
some
interesting. I had no idea that brandy was ever a clear color.
Right,
I've never seen it that way. Yeah.
It's like
Grappa seems to be
right, and that's because Grappa is a pumice brandy, right? Yes, because so you have I broke down. There's two grape brandies I did research on. Because I didn't want to, there were so many, and it was like, we only don't have that long. That doesn't make any sense, but we don't have
that long. Well, plus, we didn't even get into some of the other stuff like cognac and Armagnac and so on.
Right, and that's, that's where you get your French brandy. So you have your American brandy, which I think we all pretty much cover the spectrum. Christian Brothers is a good example, which is what I'm drinking. We've got Coronet. I don't think anybody has. E&J, which is what Kate has. Korbel and Paul Mason. American brandies are almost exclusively made in California. And my reasoning for that is that's where all the grapes are. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you take the grapes and cart them around the world to make brandy somewhere else when you've already got them there? It's cheaper. And then you have your French brandies, which is something normally known as cognac, double distilled, aged about 2 years in French oak barrels. Cognac. Right. So it makes sense. It's sort of like champagne. Where's that made?
Champagne.
Bingo. They're not very creative in France.
Remind me to tell you an Armagnac story later on.
Think about it this way. Why don't we call our brandies California? That's what we should do. It should be California. What are you drinking, California?
Los Angeles.
There you go. Oh, that would be... Would you want to drink Los Angeles? Not my thing. Yeah.
You know, if you're into the whole Latin thing.
Maybe. Sure. I'm not. And so then you have your fruit brandies, which aren't grape-based, typically from something like apples, plums, cherries, which sounds awesome, raspberries, peaches, apricots, and other weird fruity things. I've never actually had one, but they have this thing called Kirschwasser, which is cherry water, and I don't know, sounds awesome. The apple brandy, I don't know if I'd go with something that's an apple. I've had bad experiences.
Cherry, which is pretty good, but the apple is a little rough for me.
See,
I think that would be something that you would use in a particular mixed drink, like, you know, a mulled cider or something like that.
Or a apple teeny. I don't really know where you...
Well, I don't think you use brandy in apple teenies, do you?
No, but it's got...
I was going to say, it's got apple. You know,
it's
not a bad idea, using a flavored brandy as a
flavoring?
As a liquor versus a vodka.
Right, because...
Just because it'll bring more flavor to it.
I had apple vodka this weekend. Not really... You know what it tastes like? Vodka. It tastes just like vodka, with a slight hint of apple. Not enough to make you go, oh, this is apple.
A lot of them have like a perfume flavor to me. Like they just sprayed something into it and
right.
It just smells more like it than it actually tastes.
Yeah, and it's so it's not the same.
Chemical.
But
the brandies aren't quite like that. Like if you... The cherry stuff or blackberry or whatever tends to have more of a fruity thing going on.
And I think that would be a good... I mean, you probably wouldn't put in an eggnog, I don't think, especially if you've got the eggnog I got this week. But it's still...
What did
it's,
you get? Cinnamon?
No, they had cinnamon egg. See, here's the problem. I went there to get eggnog.
I saw that too, and I really wanted to buy it, but
well, they had like,
I got the right...
They had like 10 types of eggnog. They had like
vanilla.
They had the fat-free. They had the cinnamon. I got the sugar cookie. cookie eggnog.
Sounds so good.
Right. So I figured add brandy. It can only taste like sugar cookies and brandy. How bad can that be? And I even did the nutrition facts side by side with the fat free to see how much I was actually saving. I was being conscious of my weight. And then I just said, fuck it. Because it was only going to be like
fat free. If you're mixing an alcoholic beverage, unless you're going to consume several a day, you know, you need to make it right. Especially
if you decide
eggnog.
To drink a bunch of eggnog in a row.
You're going to be
begging for pain.
That's true. You really only want one or two of these.
Yeah.
So,
and I know we're not at that segment yet, but it is so good. The eggnog brandy thing. My eggnog brandy. It's awesome.
So, well, listen, now that we've covered the basics, we all have these tags after our brandies, like VSOP, VSXP, Imperial. They actually mean something, apparently. So brandy, all brandies are going to have a label. It's going to be AC, and I couldn't find for the life of me what the hell AC means. It's not air conditioning. Nope, not.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not, but it's aged 2 years, so I don't understand why it would have anything to do with air conditioning.
How about alternating current?
Maybe. Maybe they zap it, and that's how they cook it up. I don't really know. But there's AC. Basically, AC is the bottom of the line. Then you get VS.
Maybe they just forgot to throw on the DC. Maybe they were going to put the band on.
Maybe it's a special label, like Cabo Wapo's got the Sammy Hagar thing going. I don't know. So
I would totally put an AC/DC t-shirt on my brandy.
I would too. Not really. I'm not a big AC/DC
fan. See, you probably should get out a little bit more. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's all he's trying to say.
Back in black.
We've got
Don't be racist.
Very special. That's what I got. See, here's the deal. When I bought my very special brandy, I wasn't in the market to buy brandy. I didn't go out for this specific episode to buy new brandy. I figured, what better way to do it than to take what I, the uneducated buyer, purchased? It made sense to me. Why am I going to go buy something just so I could be better than everybody else, right? So I got the very special stuff. Aged 3 years in wood. Now, let's see. Let me figure out who's got the very special Doug. Doug has the VSOP, which is very special old pale, and that's 5 years in wood. And I think we even have an XO in the house. That's Kate, right?
That's me. Yep.
So you've got the extra old, 6 years of age. That's right. She's 6 years of age.
Old wood.
Exactly. Now, I'm not
drinking the old wood. Oh, yeah.
Where does Imperial fit?
Doug's kind of fixated on the cock tonight, isn't he?
Yep.
He's totally.
That's because he has.
It's only going to get worse.
Way too many drinks to not. When Doug drinks a lot, he's fixated on wood.
Thankfully, he's far away from us right now.
That was you last week, Derek.
Right. I'm never fixated on wood. People just make it pretend that I am.
That's another prison story.
No. Now, anyway, before we go down prison stories, we also have a vintage label. Now, I don't know if that's what Imperial is. I probably not.
No, Imperial means you want to go out and take over other countries.
Okay. That makes sense. We don't know the age of your brandy is what it comes down to.
It is. It's 10 years old.
Holy crap. So you're on that whore's the age thing.
That's right.
All
right.
So
they love aged whores.
Whore's the age is 10 years plus or undetermined because it's just too damn old. Considered of great quality. Of course, that's me. Dave went with high quality. He's up the top shelf this week, which is different because it's not overproof. You're going high end. That's awesome.
Nobody yeah, I like to mix it up a little bit.
Right. Mix it with
it's
eggnog.
Usually high end.
Well, yeah.
The last one was just odd.
Because he did the same thing I did. Good. He just picked what he had in his drawer. Vintage, though, the one before what Dave has, is really doesn't have a specific age. It's just whatever they put on the bottle. So basically, I think it's like it's probably going to be over 6 years, maybe under 10. But it'll just be labeled to tell you, which makes sense, I guess. If you have something vintage, you give it the date, and I guess you can give it as a gift for a wedding or something. I don't know really if that's a good gift, brandy. It's brandy seems more high-end, high-scale type thinking when you're thinking about alcohol.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, it seems like Cognac and Armagnac are definitely, you know, of that.
But those guilt, are... Right? Yeah, but those are brandies that should have the same... I don't know if they have the labels, but they're of the same quality. They're still in the same great brandy category, right? So you could have an aged, old, vintage cognac, I would guess. Or is cognac always strictly 2 years?
I have no idea.
See, I don't know.
I'm wondering if that's what your AC stands for, possibly.
Aged cognac? That's the most brilliant answer I've gotten so far tonight. Whole lot better than AC/DC. Shit,
Gage
I mean.
Wins.
Para español, número dos.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that cognac is blended. They have multiple years of different aged casks, and they blend it.
I think
every year.
So I should probably buy some cognac because I don't know if I have any.
I purchased some Remy Martin. I had some last night.
Did you have it as an after dinner drink?
Yes, I had it in lieu of a cordial.
What?
A what?
Well, that sounded kind of
a toadstool.
A cordial instead of cordial.
In lieu of a cordial, oh, like a sweet after dinner drink.
I thought you meant sex after your date. I misread. I'm sorry. Anyway,
are we talking about aged whores or something?
Yes. So then we've got the aging process, which goes down to that road of aged whores. You've got no aging, which this is how you tell if you have a clear brandy. If it doesn't have an age, it's probably clear, and it's probably fruit or pomace, which is something from grapes. Wait, no, yeah, it's grape parts.
Pomace.
Pomace. Okay, let's back up. I don't think I covered pomace brandy very well. A good example is an Italian grappa. Have you ever had grappa? Anybody?
No.
Doug has. You have, yeah. Because my father always serves grappa every time somebody comes over, just to see if they'll drink it. Seriously. And he basically, this is weird, but my father actually believes that there's a grappa gene in the human body. That when somebody drinks grappa, if they like it, they have the genes. I'm serious. He said this. I don't know if Doug was there for that. But
that's hilarious.
And he also had a few.
I think you might be right, but that's hilarious.
When I tasted grappa, and I didn't know what grappa was, and even up until I did the research, I didn't even know it was a type of brandy. I just thought it tasted like, did you ever like, and I've done this as a kid, don't ask, grab like a bunch of weeds and just chew on them?
Missing something in your diet, like food?
No. No, I don't know why I've done this, but anyway, it tastes like that. It tastes like you're eating, if you took a bunch of weeds from a field and you just put them in water and boiled them and then you drank them, that's what grappa tastes like to me.
I'm going to have to leave that one for you.
What do you think, Doug?
Can't really relate.
It tastes exactly like it's described.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's strong.
I find it a fairly odd
weed juice
in between gin and vodka. It has, it's fairly strong in its alcohol taste, and it's clear, so it has that characteristic going for it too. But it has a note of sweetness, but not really. Hence the comparison to maybe a gin. It has some flavor to it, unlike a vodka.
Yeah, I don't like gin either.
It's very, very different. But if you have the opportunity to try it, I mean, shit, you might as well try it.
Oh, I tried it. You've tried it. That's what I did. Well, I didn't even know what it was. And you know what else I've tried? Moonshine grappa. That is I don't know where one of my father's he works at a he or used to work in this as a tools guy, building machinery and heavy machinery, and they had an assembly line, and there's a lot of Italian immigrants there, and they had brought over from Italy these bottles of this what they called moonshine, which is really grappa. And when I had grappa, it's got a faint color to it. It's like a dirty water. It's almost like a Mexican water, right? But the moonshine stuff
without the after effects, I would hope.
Exactly. You don't poop. So with the moonshine grappa, it was completely clear. It looked like a vodka or water. I think you could have, yep. And it was in an unlabeled glass too. So you can literally, like a big one, you can literally just carry that thing down the street, sucking it down. People think you're just, you know, dehydrated and you're trying to fill up on some water. I don't suggest that.
So would that be
something you get close to the person?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yes? Would that be something more that you would use in like a mixed drink, or do people sip that as
Oh,
well?
No. This is like a sipping. I don't think grappa is used for anything but hurting you. It's the moonshine stuff. It burns. Like when it goes down, it feels like your entire body's on fire.
It's good for cleaning out wounds as well.
Exactly. Because, you know, there's a lot of wars in Italy. So they use it back in the day for medical practice. I don't really know. I made that.
For medicinal reasons.
Medicinal reasons. They poured it in people's wounds.
Oh, I hate it.
You didn't use the right stuff. You used lime. You used lime.
I did. Did I tell you that? Were you on when I said that? Oh.
You didn't do it right. You need lemon.
Do you really, honestly, you think that would make a big difference?
Yeah. Triple sec is a citrus flavor, and the lemon works, and I don't have
lime is citrus, I think.
I know it is, but you didn't let me finish. It works, and I don't know why. It's, you know what?
It just cuts
It's an ugly color. It's really, it looks, butt. It looks like really, really dirty Mexican water.
Yeah,
maybe
mine's kind of dark because I ended up using the Gosling's black rum from last week or from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I had my my really dark rum.
I wonder
going.
Why it tastes bad.
Okay, yeah. All right, I didn't make it right.
So far, it sounds like you didn't follow the recipe, which is a great transition to what I was about to do. Okay. So, look, we got new stuff added to our recipes this week. Recipes this week between the sheets, eggnog and brandy, the Manhattan. This is what we got for Between the Sheets. You add 3/4 ounce of brandy, 3/4 ounce of light rum, 3/4 of triple sec in ounces, 1/2 of lemon juice. And you can put a lemon on there if you want to. I think it looks like Mexican water, but it tastes good.
Good.
It's sweet. It tastes like a Mai Tai without the sweetness, so it's not
how
that
you,
sweet.
How do you prepare it?
I prepare it by just throwing it all in the glass and then chucking some ice on there.
Technically, aren't you supposed to put it in a shaker?
Yeah, you can put it in a shaker with ice cubes, shake well, like Doug was showing us early, strain it into a cocktail glass, garnish with lemon, whatever. Okay. I just like to just freaking throw it all in a glass and drink it. Gets me drunk.
All right.
but yeah, it's pretty good. And then we had the, what was a Manhattan? It's, what the hell is a Manhattan? I've never even... Who's made the Manhattan? That's your deal? All right.
Yeah. Manhattans. Manhattan's usually made with bourbon. However, if you are like me or you just can't drink bourbon,
an alcoholic,
brandy or,
I thought you were a Jim Beam guy.
You know, here's the thing.
Are you lying to me?
I love bourbon. God, I love bourbon. I love bourbon, but I can't drink bourbon.
Scotch.
See, I love scotch, and I can drink scotch. Mm-hmm. Scotch agrees
so
with
me. Why can't you drink bourbon? Because it goes down too easy, or it just makes you feel bad about you? After?
Yeah, it makes me ornery. argumentative.
Really? I honestly didn't realize that different alcohols would affect mood.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a friend in college who was the nicest guy in the world, but if you got him on certain things like whiskey or whatever, he would just try to pull a fight with you all the time.
But if he had something like vodka, he'd be okay?
He'd be fine.
Wow, that's so weird. I've never heard that.
And I mean, if you get him on heroin, forget it.
That's fucked up. That's messed up. So what do you put in this thing? So you don't use bourbon.
The proper Manhattan is made with bourbon. If you are looking for a bourbon substitute, brandy or cognac is actually a very good substitute. So for this particular recipe, I have 2 ounces of brandy, 3/4 ounces sweet vermouth, a splash, which would technically equal 6 drops of bitters, and maraschino cherry for garnish. Throw it in a shaker with some ice. Shake it up. Shake it.
So that's a Manhattan.
Shake it, shake it some more.
Give you the shake part. But
yeah. Pour it out and drink it.
You know, the sad thing for everybody is he actually wrote it that way.
So. I know he did. That's why I'm laughing. He had to actually say it all just like that.
Because the whole time he's going through the ingredients, I'm like, is he really going to read that? He's going to read that. Oh my God, he's reading it.
That's how I think. I write exactly how I think.
What's an Olympus cocktail?
Shake it.
That's what I just added in. That's what I decided to do.
You decided to do an Olympus cocktail?
Right. It's pretty much just one part brandy, one part OJ, one part triple sec. Very simple.
So
and it smells like candy, and it tastes not like candy, but it's actually not bad.
It's good orange juice.
Yeah, anything with orange juice is going to be good.
The problem is I'm drinking this and an eggnog thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're making bad magic. So,
I feel your pain. I got the mojo. Yeah. I'm doing shots of brandy, drinking between the sheets and eggnog and brandy. Interchanging.
That's right. I'm switching out between Winterhook Winter Ale, my Manhattan, and my eggnog and brandy.
It's always nice to throw beer into it.
Yeah, no.
I have red wine in my mix. I have red wine, and I have the eggnog, and I have the between the sheets, but I don't like the between the sheets. So.
Oh, yeah, and I'm eating chocolate cake and asparagus.
Not right.
What did you use for a recipe for the eggnog and brandy? I just pour it in until it fills the glass. What do you do, Dave?
I just did 4 parts of eggnog and 1 part of brandy.
So 4 to 1?
You know, ounce, gallon, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Some people
make big eggnogs, you know what I'm saying?
Apparently. That's a lot of freaking eggnog. I guess if you're having a party.
What saying.
That's what he's saying, man.
No, I don't get it. What do you mean?
What? Shut up.
All right.
So pretty much, if you get eggnog and brandy, that's the recipe, eggnog and brandy. How about I do my review of my Christian Brothers brandy VS? Sound good?
Yeah, what we were doing there. Okay.
All right, cool. If you want to check out the website, it's www.christianbrothersbrandy.com. So I chose the brandy VS because it was in my closet. The VS of family of brandies is, it's part of the VS family of brandies, and for Christian Brothers, that pretty much means it's the bottom of the line. You can't get any lower than this with Christian Brothers. Taste is smooth, probably not as good as what you guys are drinking, but it's pretty smooth. It's popular in stores, basically it's easy to get. It's worth the money, sure. It's about a 750-milliliter bottle is $9.49 in New Hampshire. You can't beat the price. A higher brand of Christian Brothers brandy costs about an extra $5. I don't know what it is. It just, on the liquor store website, it just said, like, the next one up. I don't know if it's VSOP, probably. But if you're, you know, if you're a fan, VS is a little low end, so you might want to try maybe spending the extra $5. For me, freaking rocked. I was good to go. I've got it in my eggnog. I've got it in my between the sheets, and I've got a shot of it, and I'm not complaining. Am I the only one here?
I know. No, that sounds good.
We're just mesmerized by your description.
I'm sorry.
Stuff.
It was so
awesome. Crossing our fingers that the sound isn't going to go out again.
That would be awesome. But now I don't have to run downstairs, so it's easier. So I'm going to do my ratings. We got price, taste, presentation, and buzz factor. For price, can't beat it. I can't do 10 shots. 5 shots. It's a 1-5 scale. I'd go 10 if I could. $10, 750 milliliters. Come on, you can't beat this. Taste, I'm not a brandy connoisseur. It's tolerable. It's a little alcoholic tasting, but it's still smooth enough, and it's got a nice gold color. Kind of looks like a brown ale. For presentation, it's got a nice gold color. The bottle is not too bad looking. It kind of looks fancy. It's got smooth glass and all these little fancy designs to it, but it does have a plastic screw-off cap. So I'm going to go with the overproof type design like Dave had a couple weeks ago, I think. So it's not great, but it's good enough.
You're angry in a gutter and you want to throw it at somebody.
It will still do the job. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to say for taste, I'm going to go with 4 shots because I don't know any better. And for presentation, I'll go with 3 shots because I bet you can find something that looks better. For buzz factor, let's see. What do we get for alcohol content? 40% by volume. So it's 80 proof. It's good enough to get you roasty by an open fire. What's wrong with that? 40 proof?
That's good.
Good enough to, I mean, you take a cut, you have
that's
a couple.
80 proof, actually. It's 40%.
Yeah, 40%. Well, see, it's working. So if you have a couple of these between the sheet things, I think you'll be good to go. I really don't. And you know what? I'm not drinking a lot of eggnog too, so that might have something to do with it, but I don't have a stomach ache from drinking it. Like it doesn't, it's not overwhelmingly burning me or causing me any ill harm to my body. So I'm
that was a glowing review,
that's
isn't it?
A plus. Right.
So it's a wicked plus.
I'm not blind yet.
So overall, I'm going to go with 4 shots, even though it's just a very special brandy. It's special enough to warm my heart.
Oh, and you're a very special
so
host.
Lame.
Yeah, and I know. While I was waiting, I was just targeted. I was a waiting target, waiting for you guys to make fun of me.
Bus is special too, right?
Right. So actually, before I finish up, since I have my 3 drinks here, let me explain to you. I got the eggnog that's got the tastes like a candy man, like a cinnamon happy cookie type Christmas special eggnog.
Yeah.
When you put the brandy in it, tastes like you're drinking Christmas.
It does. It just sort of spices it up a little.
Yeah, I forgot the nutmeg, so I screwed
that's
up there.
Okay.
But overall, I can't taste the brandy, so it's working. Between the sheets, like I said, tastes like a Mai Tai, so I'm good to go with that. And it's actually better than it looks. And the let me do this straight shot here from my sanjose.com shot glass here.
And you used pale rum for that, right? A light rum?
Yes, I did. I used Bacardi. Mm-hmm. It does give you kind of... It's good.
That's awesome.
It kind of leaves your tongue a little numb. So it's doing the job. And I probably should have put it in a brandy snifter, but I don't really have any that are clean. The one I had, I put in my between the sheets because I don't know what else to put in there. I don't want to use a regular glass. It will look ghetto. So I went with a shot.
It's all about the presentation.
Yeah. I used an old mayonnaise jar. Is that close?
that's as white trash as you get, homie.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Kate.
Yeah, you want me to go?
Go ahead. Tell me something about this E&J Limited XO Release Brandy.
Okay, well, it's made by Gallo Winery.
That's cool.
It's a blend of brandies made from California grapes, Gallo. As we all know.
Gallo is in, like, the old wine cooler people?
Don't Probably. Ask me too many details. I don't know.
No, you remember, like, Ernest Gallo. And Julio Gallo or whatever?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It probably is.
These guys are
guys
a
sitting
classy.
On the porch getting loaded.
That's just exude that's quality. Awesome.
Yeah, www.gallo.com, okay?
Oh, wow.
Rocket.
Yeah. At any rate, it's an XO brandy, which means it's been aged for, I guess our notes say it's been aged for a minimum of 6 years, but this particular one says 7 in oak barrels. It smells very strongly of caramel to me, and I've never had brandy before, and I kind of, every week I try to drink each drink on its own before I put it in a mixed drink, so I drank a shot of this on its own slowly, but it was actually really good. I was surprised. I didn't think I'd like it. It is a lot stronger than something I would normally drink in terms of there's a little bit of a burn to it, but it wasn't entirely displeasurable. It was kind of like a really nice warming sensation afterward. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do.
Or,
I've had what you had, actually. I had the E&J VS. I used to use that in my eggnog until I drank it all. It kind of does have a caramely taste. I think that's their brand. They're all pretty good, I think. I'm not a big brandy fan, but that's the only other one I've had.
I guess my ratings, my shots are going to, take them for what they are, since this is the only brandy I've ever had. But it was a nice, sweet caramel tasting. It definitely has a little bit of a burn. So if you don't want something that tastes like alcohol, then you probably wouldn't want to sip it on its own. But it just kind of like warmed your body up a little bit. I don't know.
That's what you want.
Queer.
Well, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound queer if you're like sitting around an open fire at Christmas time.
Exactly. And I think that's why, and I could be wrong, this might just be a misconception, but it seems to me that brandy is a little bit more popular in the, it's more of a wintertime, colder weather kind of drink. And, it definitely just kind of warms you up a little bit. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. So I gave it, for taste, I gave it 4 shots. It's probably not the highest end brandy that you can get, but it tasted good. It was, kind of a pleasant warming sensation, and it was smooth enough to drink on its own. Presentation, I gave it 4 shots. It was a deep amber color. I thought the bottle was kind of nice. It wasn't anything fancy or intricate, but it was definitely different than all the other bottles on the shelf. So it kind of stood out a little bit. It had a nice cork top. It wasn't a screw-off cap. So I gave it 4 shots for presentation.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, what?
He wants to make an effect.
No, I heard that.
Nobody has a cork effect for me?
I did my best.
Okay. Do it again.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Listen to mine. How's that?
That's a screw cap.
That's so my weird. Plastic screw cap.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
That's a squeaking cork.
That was a long screw. Nice. Okay.
That was awesome. The longer the better. So for price, I gave it 4 shots. It was $14.99 for a 750-milliliter bottle. I think that's pretty
that's
decent.
Standard, yeah.
It's not the cheapest brandy you can get, but it was, probably a lot better tasting than the cheapest brandy you can get. So I gave that 4 shots. And buzz factor, I gave it 4 shots. Everything got 4 shots, I guess. It's, middle of the road at 80 proof, but it's kind of smooth, so it'll go down kind of easy. So you may, get
drunk.
Buzzed a little bit quicker than you might if it was, offensively, burning going down. So
what you kind of describe is your basic after dinner drink. It's warms and it kind of relaxes you. And if you just had a big meal, maybe that's a good thing to make you feel better.
Plus, it looks a lot cooler when you order this at the ski lodge in front of the fire instead of the Mad Dog or something.
Right.
That's why you drink it out of the snifters.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Wild Turkey. I wasn't
yeah, Mad Dog, Wild
right.
Turkey. Whatever.
No, if you're going to insult.
What's
but
salt
isn't it, I don't know, maybe it is a misconception, but isn't brandy something that people normally have a little bit more in the wintertime? Or isn't it kind of like a...
It's sort of like turkey. Yeah. You can have it all year round, but really at Thanksgiving, it just tastes that much better.
I thought you were referring to wild turkey again. I do think that also I just wanted to mention that a lot of people will drink or sip on brandy while they're smoking cigars. So it's just kind of worth a mention that this would be a great brandy for that.
They also sometimes drink it warm. Like what I hear
I drink it warm.
Well, warm, I mean like you light it on fire. Not if you put it under a flame for a few seconds, it's supposed to bring out a little more a strength in it. I don't know how true that is, but I don't really know if you need... I think it's if you're a big brandy drinker, that's something you might do, but if you don't really know if you like it, not a suggested move.
Right.
It's like a special move.
Hiss when you burn the bar up like that.
Probably something
really
you only
surprised.
Do at home.
I was really surprised by it. I really didn't think I was going to like it, but it really... I thought it was just going to be too, what's the word we use?
Snobby.
We've been using a lot. Well, kerosene-y, kind of really high alcohol.
Ethanol.
Taste or burn. It really, even after I drank it, after I was just kind of sitting here, kind of typing up my review, I'm like, it just felt, I don't know, it just felt good. It kind of warmed you up. But it just back to the cigar thing. One of my friends is a big cigar smoker, and he will always drink brandy with the cigars. So I think this would be kind of a nice one for that.
I think
it's good for sipping.
That's something that, I think that people have built over time as a stereotype, like people who sip brandy and sit in a fancy room with a fish over the mantle and talk about their stock portfolio and their friends and sip it out of a snifter. I think that brandy is kind of that noble, you have to be high class to drink it, when really, if you think about it, it's really not that expensive.
Yeah, I think, actually, I can kind of tell you where the background is for the cigar thing.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, again.
This is a Lewinsky kind of reference?
Seriously. Or where are we going? No. No, I'm not going anywhere.
Come on, I was just going to let it go there.
There were these three tampons walking down the street.
Honestly, you know how, I don't know if you guys know anything about cigars, but they're kept in like special humidification.
Humidors?
Rooms and that sort of thing. Humidors, yeah. But before the humidication, is that the word that I'm looking for? Technology became what it is today. People who were smoking the cigars would actually dip them in the brandy, dip the end that obviously you put to your mouth in the brandy as a way to moisturize the cigar.
Yep.
So that's actually how it came about, or some other kind of liqueur, but brandy I think was the most common, and it has become a little bit of a stereotype, but it actually gives a little bit of a taste to it, and some people really like it.
Well, shit, I didn't know that. Now I got to figure out how to impress my friends with that knowledge. And since you're my only friends I know, I'm
next
fucked.
Next time you have a cigar, break out a glass of brandy and, you know, just shove the fucker in.
Yeah, preferably
just
not split
it out.
You might want to practice ahead of time, Derek.
Wow, that's
don't practice. Come on,
just
so
shove that shit right in there.
So over that,
shove that fucking shit in, pull it out, break off the end, smoke it up.
Your wife was telling me something about that.
Oh, was she?
You break off the end.
He's into rough stuff.
I think it's more the shove that fucker in.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's hope it's more shove the fucker in and less break it.
Break the end. Anyway, so that's it for me.
All right. I want to save Doug for last because it's going
to
be.
He's not going to be able to speak by then.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make it that long. But okay.
Hey, Dave. Let's see if we can get through yours before Doug passes out.
Okay.
What do you got? I can't remember.
I'm doing a Spanish one called Torres 10 Imperial Brandy. So this is aged for 10 years, and it's called a Gran Reserva.
Ooh.
So I wanted to do something a little bit different from the American and French ones, so I decided to go with my Spanish friends.
Fuck America.
And they have the greatest intro line on their website. Es el tiempo de una bebida sensual, reposada, generosa. It's time for a sensual drink, relaxed, generous.
Nice. So, it's all high class.
It is. You can find their website at www.torres.es, and they have an English translation as well.
Nice.
It's it sounds like it's going to be really expensive, and the great thing is $20. Not bad.
So the high end's $20, the low end's $9. We're really not talking about spending too much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can get into, like I said, if you get into Armagnacs and Cognacs and stuff, the sky's the limit price-wise, right?
Right, but we're just
actually,
everyday
I have
drinkers.
A story before we get into the review itself, if you guys want to hear it, about Armagnac.
I like stories.
There's this thing that they do in France where there's a type of bird that goes on a migratory path between Africa and, I don't know, some other parts of Europe. It's called an orlaton. Anyways, it's like a little sparrow thing. Apparently, these are a delicacy in France. And before they became part of the EU, and this got banned for many reasons, they would set up these nets in the path of the birds. And the birds would get caught in the nets. What they would do is these birds apparently eat at night, and they would put them in a dark box with a bunch of millet. So the bird eats and eats and eats and gets fat. They take the bird out, and they drowned it in Armagnac. So it fills up the bird, like fills it up.
It's not a good story.
Yeah, it's not a happy story. But then
we never said it was happy.
But then what they do is they cook the bird, they saute it, and you eat the bird whole. But there's a trick to it. When you eat the bird, you have to put a napkin over your head because when you bite into it, it explodes because it's just full. You know, it's this big fat bird that's full of liquor now. Actually, it sounds like a relative of mine, but that's a different story. But anyway, so that's my Armagnac story.
Whoa, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's banned now, but they still do it on the black market.
What type of black market does that have? You want one of these birds?
Look, it's like anywhere. Whenever they say delicacy, they'll just, you know, the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, that's just gross.
Yeah.
No other words for that.
That's not what we're talking about. Right. We're talking about Torres 10. So I'm not a big brandy drinker. And one of the cool things about doing this podcast is that I get to try stuff that I normally wouldn't. And I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised. I don't know if I would drink a lot of this stuff straight. It's definitely rich. It definitely has some interesting flavor to it, but I'm not a big hard alcohol guy. I don't like the burn of it and that kind of stuff.
Feel the burn.
Yeah. However, mixed into stuff, it's actually quite nice. Now, the interesting thing about this brandy is it's not as sweet as some of the other ones that I've had. So in eggnog, for example, it takes away a little bit of the sweetness, if anything, but it adds this really warm undertone to it that I like.
Like getting your ass kicked by awesome?
Wasn't going to use that analogy, but okay, I'll go with that. So as far as the other stuff about it goes.
Likes analogies.
Yeah, I know. I never quite understand that, but I just let it go.
Yeah, you just go with it.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
Alright, so for price, I'm going to give it 4. We're using shots or glasses for this one?
Shots, dude. It's
yeah.
Alright, I'll give it 4 shots. I mean, the reason is, look, how often do you see something that's aged for 10 years that you can get for $20?
Not often at all.
Exactly.
Not often enough.
And it, no. You know, it looks classy as hell, and you can probably make it look like you spent a ton more for it. So why not?
And it has a cork.
It has a cork, in fact.
Yeah.
And it says
wood.
Whoa.
Hardwood cork.
And it says that's XO. Right. Is it XO? Oh, no, this is a Imperial, which means you're a king. Or taking
yeah,
one
the closest
over.
They have to any mark like that is Grand Reserva. And I think what it is it might be a bit like champagne where you can't apply that specific label to it unless you go through a certification process.
And they're Spanish, right?
And they're Spanish, so they're going to be shunned by the French.
Right. Poor guys.
So as far as taste goes, I'm going to give it 5 shots. It's really nice, actually. It's got a very warm flavor to it. I'm trying it in both a very sweet and a more acidic kind of tone, and it works in both pretty well. And then again, by itself, not bad. It definitely has a nice flavor to it. I was a little worried at first because, as people have mentioned before, I'm not a wine drinker by any stretch. So
right,
when I
hear
about something derived from wine, I get a little bit frightened, but it doesn't have that same characteristic to it at all.
No,
it's like night and day.
Yeah, it's like what happens when wine gets awesome.
It happens really like wine, but I
oh, I do too.
Strengths.
There's really no comparison to wine, even though it's made from the same stock. It's a hard alcohol. I don't care what
it
you,
is. It takes. I think the distillation process does quite a lot to it to change the flavor of it.
Yeah, it gets rid of the grapes and makes it like ethanol or something.
Right.
Which I guess is all the distilling process.
As far as presentation goes, it comes in something like a standard wine bottle, a little bit smaller, standard 750 mils. Has a cork top, always kind of a nice touch. Paper label, looks fairly classy, so I'll give it 4 on that as well. And then as far as buzz factor goes, it's like every other brandy. It's 40% alcohol, 80 proof. Depending on what you're trying to do, again, I don't really think of brandy as something you want to go out and get wasted on. It's something more to sit back and enjoy and spend some time with your friends or something.
That's true.
Yeah, take the chill off.
The trick, though, that I think the dangerous factor is that it is 40 proof. And if you've, let's say you went out and you went to, I don't know, a fancy Italian restaurant, right? And you had some sort of spaghetti or Alfredo or whatever, and you might have had a glass of red wine or for Dave, wild turkey or something that's not red wine because you don't like red wine. Well, maybe Dave's going to tap into that shit. Well, anyway, look at, let's say you have, I don't know, what, average 3 beers, right? So you've already had some alcohol. By the time you're getting to the after dinner drink just to reminisce with friends, you might already be a little toasty and your judgment might be impaired. So now you're adding on to that 40% alcohol. You could hurt yourself.
I mean, you shouldn't really drink beer before liquor anyway, right?
Everybody yeah, but everybody
that.
Does. It's not, humans, don't. You don't? Oh, I mix and match all the time. I try and collect the whole set.
Nope. No beer before liquor.
I do a little of each. But, okay, even if you were, let's say you started with liquor. Let's say you started with wine or White Russians or something. I don't know, White Russians and spaghetti probably don't go good together. But, you know, something
right, so
like
you're
that.
You're doing blow off a hooker's ass. Where do you
right.
follow up?
And now after that, you want to settle down with a cigar.
Yeah, I'm noticing that.
Yeah, and you want to settle down with a cigar and some brandy. You might already be, what I'm saying is there's a chance you might already be a little screwed up before you start this process.
Yeah, I think most people kind of use it as something that they sip at the end of the night to kind of relax and
right, something better
afterwards. You've heard the term digestive.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that for me. It's just something to kind of relax after your meal. And I mean, you got to think too, that a lot of this stuff originates in Europe and mealtime is a big deal there.
Right.
In America, we're so used to just plowing down our food and having the wait staff trying to get us out of there as fast as possible. Right.
It's true. 3 minutes, right?
If you eat dinner in Paris or something, it's a much more relaxed affair. You're going to chill out. You're going to have drinks before, maybe a drink after, and just make it much more of a social engagement than what we really do here.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah,
I kind of agree.
We should like chill or something.
High speed.
It's a quality of life thing. Yeah, I agree.
It's different, and that, and they ironically don't have as many heavy people because they don't eat big heavy meals and then get out of there in 30 minutes and go sit on the couch.
So yeah, you're not going to see a hometown buffet,
right? And then have
just
some
lost
whiskey.
Our sponsor? No, not really.
So then you give it, what did you give it for buzz factor?
I guess I'll give it a 4. It's pretty average for a brandy, but if you're looking to get drunk off it, I really don't think this is the way to go.
No?
Well, no, I mean, like I said, I think it's more something that you enjoy rather than just plowing a bunch of it down.
That makes sense. Hey, Doug, what can you tell us about the St. Remy Napoleon VSOP?
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about the St. Remy Napoleon, Gerard Depardieu, baguette.
Gonna
baguette is the word, Doug.
Yeah, he's from Louisiana, too, so you gotta give him
baguette.
The French Quarter. Well, yeah. So what, besides the pseudo-French, what do you got for us?
What? Ananas?
Yeah.
Honestly, I unfortunately have very little. It just worked out that...
You can tell us a story.
Here's the thing. I realized... You know, very late last night that I did not have any brandy for the show. And I really wanted to go and get some cognac. I really wanted to go get some, like, Remy Martin or some like that. But I completely forgot. And then it was too late. And then today is Sunday. I live in North Carolina. And in the event anybody out there in podcast land is thinking about moving to North Carolina, I will say, do it, but remember, you cannot purchase liquor on Sunday.
Isn't that the blue law or something like that?
Yeah, blue laws. I went to the liquor store on Saturday, and I picked up a bottle of vodka.
And you walked out.
Yeah, of course I did. And I was like, and then later on, the
do you really
thing, I was
like sing like that when you walk around?
He does.
Yes, actually,
nice.
I do.
Nice. Yeah. Good to have a backing track like that. Yeah,
right. I
Journey in the repertoire.
Doop-a-doo-doo.
No journey. I don't believe in.
So.
While I walk around stores, but.
So wait a minute. You went to the liquor store and you bought liquor, but you didn't buy anything for the podcast the night following.
Yeah, spaced it.
Wow, you're a cornhole.
Yeah, well, I understand this.
So you get a friend.
Luckily, I called around today to some friends, and I was like, hey, in the event you have some brandy, give me a call.
Now, that's some dedication.
And I got a call back. They're like, yeah, we got some brandy. I was like, oh, my God, you're totally saving my ass. I so appreciate it. So I rode my bike down to a friend's house, and I got the St. Remy, Napoleon.
Very special old
brandy.
Pale. Yeah.
Yeah, it's VSOP. So apparently it's good.
Hey, was it worth the money?
Hell yeah.
It was free.
It was free.
Do you even know how much it would cost?
Yeah, it costs like $13.
See, so that's not bad either.
So that's what's the VSOP?
Very special old pale. It's what is it? It's like in the it's a middle line. 1, 2, 3. It's a third down in the charts.
Yeah,
that's good. So it's middle.
You
of
know, it's
$13 is about right for that, I think.
Yeah.
Middle line brandy.
Yeah.
Taste. You know, it's brandy. It's got that going for it. Presentation. Have you ever seen a Bailey's bottle?
Yep. a couple times?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Same thing? Black?
Just like it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird. I thought they were always clear.
No, nope, this was not clear. This was very brown. I could not see the color of the brandy. I assumed it was slightly brown.
Were you right?
Sure.
He poured it directly into his mouth. He told us earlier. He didn't put it in a glass. It just went straight down.
That's dedication.
That's okay. Your
friend's going to like that bottle when he gets it back.
Oh, they're not getting this back. They're getting the full one back.
Oh.
This one's done.
You polished it off?
Yeah. You know, it was like a third of the way full.
Okay.
All right.
That's a lot of fucking brandy.
Yeah.
I've had probably the equivalent of 4 shots. And some,
oh, you're such a lightweight.
Well, I also had some light rum and whatever else was in my drink that I made.
All right, so I had a couple Winter Hooks and a third bottle of Saint Remy. Napoleon. Baguette.
Okay, so give me some numbers here. You give taste, what, 3 shots, you think? At best?
the taste?
Yeah. What you like? Well, what do you do? You like brandy? Have you ever had? You've had brandy, right?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of brandy, actually.
So, if you're a huge fan of brandy, where does VSOP fit into your huge fan of experienced brandy drinking?
Here's the deal: until you get into cognac, you're not going to get above 3 shots for a taste.
Okay, so you are a snob. Okay.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of interesting because I don't really like cognac from what I've had.
You like a different blend, is basically what it comes down to.
I guess so.
Yes.
Is cognac more of a cherry tasting?
No. It's
more of a whiskey
tasting.
Yeah, whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of whiskey. I've had some bad experiences.
I like whiskey. I've never had cognac, I don't think. It just sounded
like.
Have you
had like a single malt scotch?
I don't think so.
Good.
No.
Okay.
Okay, but you don't like cognac, but you do like brandy.
No, he likes the opposite of what you said.
Oh, he does like cognac, but he doesn't like brandy. And Dave
is the opposite of what Doug is.
Okay.
So we've got a yin and a yang. Well,
can I be the yang?
You can be the yang. Nice. And Doug is more of a, I mean, you're not saying it tastes bad. You're just saying you like cognac better.
Correct.
Good.
It's a preference.
So,
but, you know, brandy is always a very good deal.
And so for the buzz factor, I'm guessing you're going to say it's really high, considering I think you're about to pass out.
Yeah, but he's got beer in there,
too. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I don't pass out, and B, dude, I don't pass out.
So how does brandy mix with beer? Not like in the same glass, but I mean if you're double fisting. It's not so bad?
Oh, it's fine.
That's not bad. Eggnog between the sheets, not really good. They don't complement each other, just to let you know.
No, not at all.
No. So what's your buzz factor number?
4. You know, it's well, shit, it's fucking 40%.
I think we all got about the same buzz factor, because we all have 40%. That seems to be the common thing, huh? They're all 40?
Yeah, I mean, the way I did my buzz factor is 40%, 80 proof, that's middle of the road, right? That's a 3.
Mm-hmm.
But if the taste is smooth enough that you think you're going to be able to put them down,
right,
you know, pretty easily, then you bump it up a little bit.
I have the same problem with Leuvenbräu. Every time I drink it, I'm like, oh, man, I could drink these all night long, and then I end up fucked up.
Lowenbräu?
Yep. Lowenbräu for English speakers. So if you drink that, you're like, I can drink those so easily that 6 of them are gone instantly.
Yeah.
So I would give that a higher buzz factor than a beer of the same equivalent alcohol content.
Exactly, and that's what I took into consideration. I mean, I think most alcohol, you know, like if it's not a beer, it's going to be 80 proof. It's pretty middle of the road, I think. It's pretty average.
Which would be a vodka.
Goes down pretty easy. Yeah, give it a 4.
Right. So it's the same as a vodka, which is 37.5 to 40%. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we covered everybody's drinks for the week?
You got it.
Now, what do you guys think about the different... well, since we all at least have... We all had eggnog in common, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys think there's any difference in the type? Like, what we're talking about here is a swing of $9 to $20. We're not looking at a huge investment.
For the brandies?
Yeah, for the different brandies. Do you think it makes, if you were to go to the store to buy brandy that was specifically for eggnog, do you think it would make any difference at all if you bought a VSOP, XO?
Yeah. No.
I doubt it.
Not if you're buying it to mix with eggnog or orange juice in Dave's case. But a lot of people sip brandy.
Exactly.
And then you're going to care and you're going to want something that tastes different. I would definitely recommend mine. You know, the E&J was great to sip. But if you're just going to mix it, get whatever you want. Get something for $9.99 or whatever.
However, you bring up a good point. If there's an off chance that you're going to sip it or you're going to entertain guests that might or request it, you might as well buy the higher-end stuff, right? Because you're going to get – for $20, you can still put it in eggnog. It's not going to make it taste worse. It's not like buying a dark rum to put in something that you're supposed to use a light rum for, like Kate. So you're going to get
– like I do.
Right, so you're, which is going to throw off the color and the taste. So if you get a higher end brandy, you're not. It's not like it's going to knock you on your ass. It's going to taste the same. It's not spiced. There's really no big difference except when you sip it. So you might destroy the taste if you put high end brandy into eggnog. But we're talking about $20 a bottle. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not sure if you're going to mix it or you're going to drink it on its own, I would go with something like a $15 brandy or whatever, which you know isn't really that price either, but. You know, I keep coming back to mine, but that's the only one I've tried. But something like that, I'd feel really comfortable mixing, but I'd also feel comfortable if somebody wanted just to drink some brandy on its own after dinner. I'd feel comfortable serving that too. It wouldn't be like, oh, this is going to burn the hell out of them going down.
Right. And they're not going to be, even if they're brandy snobs, they probably won't go, oh, this is just, and then name your whatever brandy.
And I've yet to see a brandy on the same level as like at the liquor store that I go to, which is actually quite nice. They have rum that comes in a plastic jug that's about a half gallon that has a black and white label that says rum on the front of it. And it costs $4.69.
Those are not good. Not good.
I almost bought it just because I saw it.
You added. Dude, you already have overproof. You probably want to stay away from other rum that is going to have the equivalent effect, even if it isn't. You're not even going to get the buzz factor out of it.
I actually went out and bought some standard, you know, white rum as well, just to have in mojitos and stuff. And it's just so much better than that other crap.
The weigh-in, whatever it was called.
Ray and Nephew, yeah.
Ray and Nephew.
That'll be burned into my liver for years to come.
But that was from Appleton. Remember?
Right.
It was.
But it wasn't a true Puerto Rican rum like Doug would drink. For those that don't normally drink brandy, it was still a good experience. You feel like you've learned something, even if it's not educational?
Define good experience.
Well, you're obviously having a good experience, Doug.
I really liked it. It is something that I would definitely order after a meal or something.
And it's something I would normally shy away from just because of, you know, its origin, but it turned out to be pretty good.
Right. So now you kind of feel really get that appreciation for brandy, which I did the same thing when for some reason, brandy always, it makes me think hard alcohol. It's really not that hard. Like, it's more smooth, but I just, for some reason, I always have, like, either bourbon or whiskey, brandy. I always lump them all together, and I don't think that's really appropriate, because whiskey will knock me on my ass, because it makes, just smelling it makes me want to throw up in my own mouth. Brandy doesn't do that. I don't know why.
Yeah, I thought of brandy as being something really, like, sickeningly sweet, and it wasn't like that at all, but it was...
Then you've got to pay attention to the different types, too. Grappa... You don't drink grappa like, oh yeah, I've had brandy, this will be fine. Grappa is going to taste completely different. And I'm sure most fruit brandies will probably taste a little different too. And cognac, again, as Doug pointed out, is not going to be the same as brandy. It is brandy, but it's not the same taste.
No, and if you have Armagnac, don't drown a bird.
I didn't like that story.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
She's going to have nightmares.
Oh. Yeah, seriously. Like, even besides torturing the bird itself, then you had to eat it whole. It's just wrong. For recipes, there's actually like a bunch. Maybe
Derek
can post on the site. There's sangria we didn't even mention. Manhattan, Metropolitan, whatever. Brandy Alexander. It's my dad's thing. He loves that.
Really?
So there's a bunch of different recipes that are that people might want to try.
I could try those. I'm gonna get these up there soon.
I'm actually gonna try some of the cherry stuff at some point too.
Yeah, so I like anything cherry.
It looked pretty good.
Can you buy that at the store?
Sure.
Oh, cool. Because, like I said, the only reason I even have this brandy is because I like brandy and eggnog. And hey, Doug, do you remember that time when our grandmother made us brandy and eggnog when we were underage?
Oh, hell yeah.
She didn't know what she was doing. Oh, my God.
My fondest memories of Toots.
Oh, my God.
She was like, oh, so do you guys want a little bit of brandy in your eggnog?
We're like, sure. How old were we?
Yeah.
Sure.
We must have been like 17 or 16.
It was like half brandy, half eggnog.
I was gagging. It was so strong. It was like,
drink it.
And for somebody who's like, I don't know, we were probably what, 16, 15, 17, something like that.
I was going to say, you know, I was probably 12.
I'm a couple years older than you. So whatever it was something that our little bodies weren't exactly ready to handle. But the thing is, when you do it, right, when you drink it, you're like, oh, she fucked up. This is going to rock. Because you're like, you can't just put it down because this is a once in a lifetime for your age experience.
So you have the grandmother that makes the famous hash brownies too?
No. I gotta find one of those grandmothers. No, it
was gonna say I didn't know that I had a grandmother.
No. When you find a grandmother like that, let us know. But yeah, this was
because poor Tootsie was actually she has passed away.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she made whatever this was. That was my first experience with brandy, and the thing I can't forget was like, it didn't taste like anything I had before, because I probably sipped some of my father's beer, and I know when I was a kid, you're like, hey dad, can I have a sip? And they do it just to, you know, ha, gotcha. You're never gonna want to drink this again, because you don't, because beer is the most disgusting thing on earth when you're 12. But when you get the brandy, I'm just like, wow, it tasted like the hardest alcohol you could have. Of course, it's obviously not. But at the time, you know, maybe we probably shouldn't share that story, since 12, 14-year-olds probably aren't supposed to drink a half a cup of brandy. But it was a good time.
Well, it probably felt like a half a cup. I bet she put like a tiny little drop in it, and you guys just...
No,
because
we were standing there, literally. She dumped a half a cup.
No, listen.
Brandy.
When you drink eggnog and it looks like chocolate milk... You know there's a lot of brandy.
Yeah,
because my eggnog is like barely like a little bit darker than cream color with with my brandy in it.
You might get some brandy.
Clear. Is that bad? No, I'm kidding.
I was gonna say I don't. Yeah, that's watered down eggnog. You got ripped off.
That's like not enough. Unless you're drinking grappa with it.
Right. That would work. No, it still wouldn't be clear.
No.
Yeah, all right. Well,
that would be awful. I cannot imagine grappa. Eggnog.
That would be like the most disgusting thing on earth.
God, that would be so bad.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Oh, I do.
Well, you know.
I do. It would be bad.
Imagine.
I can't imagine it.
With the dad, with the dad and the uncle with the grappa gene.
We have a problem with alcoholic relatives, I guess. Our family likes to drink.
Big into brandy.
Well, my father's into everything. Anything that's
actually
alcoholic.
Our entire family is into alcohol in general.
Put it this way: when you have an open bar that's only like I don't know, say $4,000, we'll go through the open bar in less than an hour.
Intervention time.
It's insane.
No. Intervention is for quitters.
What he said.
Attitude.
I like your attitude. You kick ass.
Intervention is for quitters.
Oh my god.
That gets funnier as I think about it.
That's the branding.
Oh.
All right. This is Derek Shomer for Dave, Doug, and Kate. We're drinking brandy. Our podcast producer,
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Right. What he said?
Was that even English? What was that?
Somebody put Doug back out.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And for our producer, Luke.
Doug hasn't said a word in like an hour.
I know. He's in another time zone.
That makes no sense.
Oh, anyway, for our producer, Luke Lydahl, you've been buzzed by everyday drinkers.
You know, like buzz, like, you know, somebody went right over your head.
Right. Because everything just went over your head because you're on the ground.